Amen. If you have your Bibles here with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to the book of Revelation. We want to read for you Revelation 4 and 5, and we have an amazing privilege of a guest speaker. So after reading this, I will have the privilege of introducing him to you. Revelation chapter 4, all the way to the end of chapter 5, and we will praise God as we read from his amazing word. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, and one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second creature like an ox, the third creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around, and within and day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look onto it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. One of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." And I looked, and I heard around the throne and living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God bless the reading of his word. Mr. Comrie, as you come, you have been a part of our congregation, my understanding is, from the early 60s. Is that correct? That is before I was, and I'm old. You have been faithful and continue to be faithful to our God in so many ways, faithful as an encourager to me personally, to our congregation. You are a tremendous blessing. Your story is one that echoes of the grace of God that overwhelms us, and it is our prayer that today, as you preach his word with power, your life and his words will impact us. Okay. Now, one of the things we do as a tradition, it's a fairly new tradition, is for our guest preachers, we give them a pen, a treasured pen. Now, this pen was made. No, see, this giving away pens is very hard for me, actually. This pen was made from the oak from the pews of the previous church. There are only two in existence. One is now yours.
Thank you.
God's blessings to you. We are excited to hear you preach.
Thank you. Thank you.
A young man, 30 years of age, and his young wife walked into the old church in 1967. That is exactly 50 years ago. We had three children, and my wife was great with child. She was pregnant, and our last baby boy, Bruce, was born that year, 1967, and so when we went back to Africa, we went back with four children. But right from that year, 1967, we were amazed at the incredible grace of God toward us as a family. We had already spent 5 years in Zambia, training trusty men and women for the ministry, training Africans from five different countries. And they came to us, and we trained them in the Word of God, and then they went out back to their home country with their language and their culture and with all the problems that there were in those particular days. And now we look back over 50 years from when we walked into this church, and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your amazing grace. We are not worthy of any of the grace that you give, but we thank you for it. You are our God, and we will follow you all the days of our lives. And so these last 50 years have been extra special. So were the first five. We had all kinds of experiences then, and I have written a book, and it was supposed to be here today, and unfortunately the publishers left out a page. Would you believe it? They have confessed to their sin, and so they are putting it right, and we will get that book, and we will come back and present it to you at another date. I want to speak to you today from the last book of the Bible, and it's a book that is so incredible, and it's a journey that I want you all to come on. I want you to come with me. If you're children or young people, I want you to come. I don't want you to switch off. I want you to come. I want you to listen. Because these are the words of a very old man, not me, John. John the apostle, the disciple of Jesus Christ. He was the only disciple that did not die in a very, very painful way. He was a man who was banished to the island of Patmos, and that's where he went. And he served his sentence. He was in prison, and you know what he did. He didn't write the Gospel of John there, and he didn't write the epistles, the three epistles that he wrote, but he wrote the whole of the book of Revelation there. And when you look at it, I don't know whether you're like me, but I began to read this book. I worked it out. It was 63 years ago. I began to read the book of Revelation, and I said, wow, Lord, I hope you're going to be my teacher, because I find this very, very tough, very hard to understand. But it says here in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 2, blessed is the one who reads the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and do it and take it to heart. So what I'm asking of you today is that you hear it and that you take it to heart and that you go with it. And so I'm going to start with an open door. Every missionary loves an open door. And if you read all about missions down through the ages, you'll find that missionaries will come to you and they will tell you about the open doors that were there for them, and God was the one who opened the door so that they could go in and so that they could identify completely with the people to whom they had gone. Learn their language until you were more fluent in their language than you are in English. Learn their culture and then live with them and then share with them the love of God in Christ Jesus. And the Lord opened a door for us, first of all, to go to Zambia. Later, we went to Zimbabwe, where I was born, long before I went there. And we served there for many, many years. And now, every year, we go back, every year. And we are praying that God will help us in our 80s, heal us, bring healing and strength, so that we can continue to go out. Every day, I'm in communication with people on our fields, and we are so excited about going back to join with them in the ministry that they have. I have set before you an open door. Now, just one tiny little bit more of background. There's one more door that I want to talk to you about. It's in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And everybody knows it. You could probably quote it to me off by heart. And it's Jesus speaking. So it's written in red if you have one of those kinds of Bibles. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If any man or woman or young person hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. And I will dine with you. I'll eat together. We will be together in a rich, deep, wonderful fellowship. That's what Jesus promises. And when you realize that he's writing to the church of the Laodiceans, and they were a difficult church. And you know, most of us in our history of church have gone through great difficulty. This church, the church of the Laodiceans, in their early days, they said this: we are rich. We have need of nothing. And the Lord said to them, you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind and naked. And he says, I counsel you to come and buy from me. And I don't know whether you can think back in all of your experience of church. But you know, I think that the Lord is coming to many churches today, and he's finding that they're saying this, I have need of nothing. I'm rich. I've got all I need. And he then gives his diagnosis. And then he says, to all those people, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. And I want you to open the door. It's locked from the inside. If you do not open the door, the Lord cannot come in. It's up to you to open that door so that he can come in. And whatever your problem is, your problem that you've never believed, you've never been born again of the Spirit of the living God. If you've never been born again of the Spirit of God, you are not a Christian. You may be a Baptist, but if you haven't been born, quickened from above by the Spirit of the living God, then you are still not a part of the family of God. And oh, I'm so glad how utterly unworthy we are. But we come as sinners and we repent and we say, Lord, lift me up. And he says, yes, I will. And then he says, now I want to take you on a journey with me. And I want to take you not to Washington, not to Beijing, not to Moscow, but I want to take you to the center of our entire universe. And I wonder whether you are ready to come with me. That's what John is saying here. Are you ready? Young people here, are you ready? Do you know that this is an incredibly exciting journey? And if you will come with John and with me, then I believe that God will show us some things that we just need to know. Excuse me. Because sometimes I feel as though I'd like to have a 1 week away from the news. Do you ever feel that? Just 1 week, Lord. Just I want a break. Every single day we wake up, a flood, an earthquake, this, fires, that, over and over again, all over the globe, multiplied so that it is as it has never been before. And the Lord says, I want you to come up and take another visit. I want you to refresh your hearts in heaven. Because it's very important for you to go there. And so he said that he was in the Spirit and he went. And we have been, if you have been born again of the Spirit of God and you're walking in the Spirit and you know what it means to have his fullness in your life, come. Come and look. This is what John says. The first thing that he saw was the throne. And he, Pastor read it for us, and it was just so real. The throne of our God. And around it there's a kaleidoscope of color. The color is incredible. You know, if you young people can just use your imaginations, the Bible is not a dull book. It's a colorful book. And when you get close to our God, he's not old-fashioned. He is absolutely relevant. He knows so much about you, and he loves you. He loves where you are at this particular time in your life. And he wants to make himself real to you. And so this throne, this place, it's awesome. And there is a kaleidoscope of color, rainbow of color. It's there. And if I were to try and describe it in biblical terms, you've just got to read it for yourself. And I agree with your pastor. I saw that, you know, we follow you online, and we get all your letters, and we just thank the Lord for the pastoral care that is taking place in this church right now. And we are the beneficiaries of that care. And your pastor has been challenging you to become Bereans. Do you remember that? It was in one of his letters. And I want to challenge you again on that. Do you know what a Berean is? A Berean is a person who comes to church and they listen to the preaching of the word and they see the word of God and they then say, well, you know, that wasn't bad, or that wasn't, you know, he could have done better here and there and whatnot. A Berean is not someone who takes it from here. They go home and they get their Bibles down. And you know what? I have found in my life that the only Christians that really matter are not the ones who are being spoon-fed, but the ones who begin to search and see for themselves and prove for themselves that this God is the living God and that he's living in me and that he's, even though I'm so useless, even though I'm so weak, he can take a weak thing and he can transform it and he can give new life. And so John says that we need to search out the scripture and go back to the scripture and read it again. Read it for yourself and make it your own. Around the throne, there were 24 thrones. And this is a familiar picture for you. They're obviously, I think, 24, 12 probably, representing the Old Testament, and 12, the New Testament. And they are on thrones, surrounding the throne. And on them, these 24 elders are there, and they're crowned. They're crowned, in fact, they're crowned with many crowns. And then nearer, as you get closer to the throne, there are what the Bible describes as four living ones. They are spirit, angelic beings of incredible power and glory. The description of them was too much for me. It's totally overwhelming. And as I began to get into the Old Testament and I began to read Ezekiel chapter 1 and 10, you know, you meet these same ones, these four living ones, you meet them in Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 10. If you're Bereans, go back and check it out. Because it's as you put it together that it sticks in your heart and life and your mind and soul. So go back and make it stick. And these four living ones, they are focused completely on the throne. And whatever the one who sits upon the throne, whatever he says, wherever he sends, they will go. And they will go to any part of this universe in just, we think that we live in the scientific age. These guys can travel and they can reach there before you can say Jack Robinson. They're there and they do the bidding of the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And if you think this is a fairy tale, you better start going all the way around the world. You see, what those living ones said was words that many people tell me have become irrelevant. You know what they said? Holy. 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 Holy Father. Holy Son. Holy Spirit. One God, eternally manifesting in three persons of the Godhead. Holy. What does it mean? Is it an old word? Do we need to find a new word? If you read your Bible and you go to the front, you know what I just said? I said, do you read your Holy Bible? Did I say that? No, I said, just do you read your Bible? Do you know what it says at the front of your Bible? Holy Bible. Why? Why does it say holy? Because the Bible is set apart from every other book on this earth. It's holy. There's nothing, nobody anywhere in the world has ever been able to produce a manuscript like the Bible. And it's been with us, and we just thank the Lord for his incredible word. It is the sword of the Spirit of the living God. And you and I need to go and we need to become rich in the Word of God. And we need to become those who are ready to go for him. And we need to go in his name and with his word and in the power of his Spirit. And we need to make a difference in Canada first. And then in the rest of our world as well. Holy, holy, holy. And when the elders see what these living ones are doing, and when they hear their voice, they get down off their thrones and they take the crowns off their heads and they come before the Lord and they lay their crowns before the Lord and they say, you are worthy. You are worthy, our Lord and our God. You are worthy of all praise because you created everything. And he did, you know. If I was the devil, Lucifer, do you know what I would do? I would teach the children of today that creation is outdated. I would teach people that we've done away with God, we've removed him, and we now worship science. Because science is producing things and God isn't. What a lie. What a lie. Do you know that the very name of God is science? And he is omniscience, omniscient. He is all science. And when you and I have learned all science, you will know that the devices that you have in your hand now, in a few years' time, will be completely outdated because we haven't got there yet. What God has got to reveal to you and to me is amazing. He's going to open up things, remedies, and where there is good science, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. And we benefit from it, from remedies for deep, deep diseases. But there's a whole lot of science fiction out there. And Satan is spreading it around. And so it is traveling around the world. They said, holy. They said, you are worthy. In chapter 5, verse 1, it says, then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides. This is a scene that you need to live. You need to make it graphic, because it is. John is there. And there is the one seated there, and this scroll, seven seals on it. And nobody was found worthy in heaven, on earth, or under the earth to break the seals, to open the book, so that you and I would be able to know what God is going to reveal to us as a world. What is his last will? What is his testament? What is the good news that we have to share? And you see, in the word holy is the word love, because he is a loving God, and he's a holy God, and he's a merciful God, and he's a just God, and all of these things, they all come together in him. But when no one was found to be worthy, John began to weep. He was the only human being who hadn't been transfigured into heaven, and he was there, and he began to weep, and he began to weep, and the words are very strong. He was really weeping. Do you know something? I believe that God needs to teach us again how to weep. When I come up on a prison in Africa, on a man who murdered my sister, when I come into a situation like that, do you know what I say? I say, Lord, how do I get to Chris Ngoni? How do I get there? How does the word of God cross over to him? I don't know how to do it, Lord. Help me, Lord. And I found that he's a God who opens prison doors. And I found that he's a God who opens the hearts of those whose hearts are shut tight. And we need to weep. And we also need to hear the voice from one of the elders which says, stop it. Stop weeping. And in every situation in which we find ourselves, do you know, wouldn't you weep if we filled this church with the 800 plus people who have died of overdoses this year in our province? If they were in this church now, wouldn't you weep? Do you know we've got problems in Canada? We've got so many blessings, but we've got so many problems. Lord, we don't know how to do it. We don't know how to get folk to stop. We don't know how to tell them that you love them and that you died for them. Stop weeping. If you come today and you experience the throne of God, and you really know that he is Lord, Lord of your life, and he will take you forward into your future. If you know that, then you can rejoice with him. You can really rejoice with him. Now, stupid clock. They were made in Canada. In Africa, we don't have those things. Sorry, I have to start rounding off. Wow. John, stop it. Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Wasn't that wonderful when we were singing it this morning? Did you enjoy that? The Lion. Do you know that the whole world is looking for the lion? You will never, ever find him. Young people here today, you will never find the lion until, first of all, you have found the lamb. He's the Lamb of God. And before you can come into the presence of God, before you can live for him, before you can work for him, you need to meet the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The cross. The cross is wonderful news. And I would love to labor here. I would love to just take you deeply into the cross of Jesus Christ. The only reason why we can go to the uttermost parts of the earth is because we have a foundation that has been laid by Jesus Christ. He took all of our sins of all of the world in his own body on that cross, and he died and he was buried, and on the third day up from that grave he arose. And we've got news to tell to the whole world. The cross. Oh, I'd love to tell you. Remember Chris Maposa? He was here in this church. And if you come to our display afterwards, there's lots of material there. You know what? They are reaching over 50,000 children every week in Zimbabwe today. Those children are coming to faith in Christ. Those children are growing up, marrying one another, and they are spreading the word through today for tomorrow. It's become not a program, it's become a movement of God. And it has gone from Zimbabwe and it has spread into 5 different areas of South Africa and 4 other countries. You were in the dark. It has spread. Why? Because of Calvary. Those kids came out of drastic. They were dying of AIDS. Millions of children in Africa, 25 million died of AIDS. And this is Test Sunday to see whether you're awake or not. And you are all very much awake. And you know, our God, how does he do it? From his throne. It's the throne of grace. It's the war room of the world. It makes the Pentagon look like a tiny little building. The throne room of our God is there, and he gave us the cross. That was his answer for the deepest needs of mankind. And when you go to that cross, and when you meet with the one who was crucified for you, then you become ready for the glory that will follow. And those verses that Pastor read so beautifully are the words of every creature choir. Can you imagine every tree, everything singing? Because the whole of creation is groaning because of the sin of mankind. And the reason why we have global warming is because of the sin of mankind, and we have spread our nonsense everywhere. And now God is saying, I'm going to make it all again. And it's going to be not only a new you, but it's going to be a new creation, a new heavens and a new earth. And our God is going to do it. Do you believe that? It's an amazing story, and it's true. I'm going to shut up because we've got to have the most amazing meeting, taking bread. This is my body. Taking the cup. This is my blood for you. It's all for you. It's for me. Thank you, Lord. What an amazing Savior. What an amazing Lord. What an amazing future and plan you have. I've got a commitment card. I've been using it here. It seems like forever. I give up all my own plans and purposes, all my own desires and hopes, and I accept your will. Do you want that? His will for your life, for your marriage? Do you want that? Do you want to be led by the King to the right person? Or are you going to make your own choice? Lord, I give up all my own plans, purposes. I don't want to be the one who chooses. I want you to help me to make the right choice because marriage matters. And you and I, when we put him first and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he leads us into all of these things and into a life of fruitfulness and fulfillment. That card is on our display at the back. You can just pick one up. Let me say, young people and other folk, if you haven't taken a commitment like that, it can be so meaningful. It can be. And I pray that God will give you the courage to do it and to put it into your memory. Pick up that card and do it. It's between you and God. I don't want it back. Between you and the Lord, and may he take you into deep, deep places of peace and joy. Shall we pray together? Our Father and our God, so much more to say. Lord, we thank you for your word. It's the living word. We pray that you would, by the power of your Spirit, go on speaking so that we can hear. Help us, Lord, to become obedient to what you say and to do, because you warn us that it's very easy to hear, but it's much harder to do. Help us, Lord. We cry out to you. Thank you, Lord, for this Labor Day weekend. Thank you for our country and for our world. We're in trouble, Lord. But we thank you that your word has gone to the uttermost parts of the world, and intrinsically it's going into all of Canada too now. We pray for your help and strength in doing it properly. We worship you together. We join that choir, which is just so magnificent. And we say, holy is the Lord. You are glorious in your holiness. You're wonderful in your love. And you are mighty to save. Part us now, Lord, with your blessing as we come to the table to participate together. And then you take us out into the world. May we go in your name and for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. I want to read the end of that passage. What a great introduction to time we will spend together remembering. As I read this, I would like those who are serving communion to come forward and to join me here. Just the end of the text of Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And at Cloverdale Baptist Church, we join every living creature in heaven and on earth to say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. We want to take some time today to celebrate communion. In doing this is the Lord's table. We are remembering what he has done for us, to fix our eyes on him and to make sure that our lives are an overflow of what it means to be loyal to him, to respond with all that we are and all that we have. It's an opportunity to repent, to turn from sin to Jesus, It's an opportunity for us to confess our sins and to experience His forgiveness and freedom from condemnation, and also to choose in that loyalty to Him, to choose not to sin moving forward, to choose with all that we are and all that we have to honor Him. It's a time of rejoicing. Rejoicing because by grace through faith we are forgiven. Rejoicing because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Rejoicing because He has a plan for our lives if we belong to Him, to make a difference in our community, to make a difference in our world as salt and light. And then we are recommitting our lives to Him. For everyone who takes communion this morning is saying, not only to our Lord, but to one another, this is a family event, a church event, we are saying, praise You, thank You, we acknowledge this, and we'll live our lives in light of this, fully and completely devoted to You. This is an open table we celebrate at Cloverdale Baptist Church, meaning if you're here and you know Lord and Savior, we would welcome you to participate. We long for you to join us in the celebration, but you need to be a true believer in Jesus by grace through faith. The second caveat we would say is you also need to be willing to confess and repent of any sin. And so we want to take a few moments where you will reflect on the greatness of Jesus and what He has done, where you will declare, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain," and you will ask Him to search your heart. And if there be any wicked way in you, that He would reveal it to you. And if you're willing to confess and experience forgiveness, then we would rejoice if you would participate with us. So please bow your heads. Take a few moments. I will close that time in prayer to reflect on the greatness of our salvation and our Savior, and a time of confession and enjoy freedom and full commitment.